Hi, and welcome to the Her Podcast, where it's all about her mind, her body, and her life. I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and I'm so excited to have Lorianne Robinson on with us today. But before we talk with Lori, do me a huge favor. Race on over to iTunes so you can rate and review the show. Why? Because that ramps up our visibility. Then we can attract more people just like you who want to know how to be the best her possible. Hey, thanks.
Her. The podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind. Her body. Her life.
It's all about her.
All right. On this episode, we are thrilled to have Lorianne Robinson. Oh boy, she's a Los Angeles-based fashion consultant, speaker, and former four-time Emmy-nominated costume designer. Woo-hoo! That means she knows how to look good. And we want to have her on today to attack some wild and crazy subjects. So, Lori, welcome back to the Her
I am
podcast.
So thrilled to be back with you, Dr. Pam. It's been a while,
right.
And I'm excited. I am so excited. I have so much to say about everything.
Yeah, I know. Well, honey, listen, let's just dig right into it, okay? Because you are the expert on all things what looks cool, what does not look cool, and what we can do about it, how we can fix this. Let's start with the presidential.
Oh boy, you're going right in for the kill, aren't you, Dr. Pam?
Oh, okay. There is no question. Yeah. What is with the pantsuits?
Okay.
You know, I mean,
I know.
Why is it that the Democratic, contender is looking like Chairman Mao? I mean, I'm just, I'm not like doing a meow meow here. I'm just trying to understand, and this is a really important point, and there was a current New York Times piece that just came out about this. What do powerful women look like? How do they hold on to their femininity? How do they look powerful? You look at everything from Margaret Thatcher to the current woman who's running the Brexit thing over there in the UK to...
Who looks great.
Looks phenomenal, right?
Yeah.
And then the woman who, Merkel, who's leading up Germany, we can have a conversation.
Okay.
And then to what's going on here. Help! How can we stop looking one particular way, like we're wearing a uniform? And how do you really look professional, powerful, and also like a woman?
That's always an age-old question. How do you look like that powerful individual and not start to slide into the man's world with your way of dress? And you want to be taken seriously. You don't want to come off as a little fluff bunny. And sometimes women just will gravitate toward the pant thing because it's easier. They don't have to worry about their legs. They don't have to worry about a shoe if they've got foot issues. Even though that's no excuse anymore, let me tell you, most of my clients have issues with their feet, and there are tons of options out there for great-looking shoes that don't look like orthopedic-type-looking shoes that they can wear with a dress or a skirt. And I think you need to, if this is something that really frustrates a woman who's in power and has a great job, and they really can't figure it out themselves. Not every woman has the gene in them to figure this out. And there's no reason that they shouldn't seek out professional help if need be, and find a style that works for them and get a little bit of panache going on, to use an older word, get a little style going on. We don't need to look like, as you said, that Chairman Maui kind of pantsuit, button-up Mandarin collar. There's no reason one needs to be in that type of pantsuit and be a woman in power at all. And in fact, it's really interesting, in the political arena, women were not allowed to wear pantsuits in the Senate until 1993. Isn't
Whoa,
that amazing?
That's right.
1993,
that's right.
No pants.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's totally crazy.
And that's when we started breaking the glass ceiling on the whole pantsuit issue. And it's still, in fact, California is very easygoing, very liberal, very open-minded. But there are still facilities here country clubs and of such are different types of clubs that aren't just country clubs, you know, business clubs, that you are not allowed to wear a pantsuit. You still have to wear, Whoa. Women have to wear skirts. Yeah. And that's kind of archaic. I know it's a little bit more prevalent maybe on the East Coast because East Coasters have a different way of dressing than the West Coast. Considerably
boring. Yeah, we're boring.
Well, you're more conservative, and women on the East Coast would not be dressing like the women on the West Coast and what most women on the West Coast wear to work, because we're such an ultra casual society, and so it, over here. So it depends on what your industry is and what you're doing. But yes, I found that statistic very interesting about the women.
All right, now Lori. What I want you to do is I want you to dress Hillary Clinton right now. What would you do with her?
First of all, make sure she's wearing her correct colors. Half the time, she is not wearing her correct colors. And they're very distracting. They're harsh on her. They do nothing for her. That's for starters. That makes me cringe is when women, I don't care who you are, wear colors that aren't flattering. And we get to an age, Dr. Pam, that this is really vital. That this is really vital to make us look more vibrant, to look sexier. Not that, you know, we're running for office, we want to look sexy, but, you know, you look more feminine, your face is going to light up, and the color is not going to drain the life out of your face. That's for starters. I would make sure that she just stays within a certain color range that works for her and her skin tone. So that's a starter. I know her lower half is not the half that she wants to really emphasize. So I would keep things a bit on the darker side on the bottom half, because really, basically, when you're behind a podium, nobody's looking down. You know, you don't see that. You see from the waist up for the most part, and when you're giving interviews. But I would make sure everything on the bottom fit her impeccably, that it was perfect, that the line of the pants, or if we could get her into a skirt again, was perfect fit on her. That's a key factor. You want to make sure clothes fit you really well. And then again, on her jackets, I would mix it up. I wouldn't do the matchy-matchy thing. That's a little old lady. If you do the matching jacket, matching pant all the time. It's a little 90s, little old lady. I would break it up a bit and mix and match a little bit more. It's a little bit more visually interesting to do it that way. And it just gives her more options. And then put perhaps, definitely put her better colors up around her face. And in a jacket, I would definitely put a dress and maybe a coat dress type of situation on her once in a while. See how that works.
I think a coat dress is a brilliant idea.
I love coat dresses. I think
just think that they're fabulous. Well, you know, there's another thing, too. I remember in one of her debates, she really looked fantastic when she was wearing, like, I couldn't quite tell, but I think it was an ink blue type of outfit where she had pearls and I think maybe a white blousey kind of thing. It looked very professional. The colors looked great. It wasn't, I was praying to God we didn't see the rainbow thing again. You know, it was like, what color from the rainbow are we choosing now? I really think that, you know, when you think about Margaret Thatcher and you think about women who've really, you know, kind of dressed very well over the years, over the many, many years they were in politics, they really rotated out exactly what you said. It was feminine but powerful, and they stuck with darker colors, or if not darker, but ones that were flattering to them. You know, because they do have to go to, you know, like dinners and, you know, state things that where they have to wear something, you know, more decorative, et cetera, et cetera. So there, if we step back now, because I really thought that this was a really important point, because so many people are now mentioning, you know, how powerful women look. And now that the glass ceiling has been broken by Hillary Clinton now becoming the first woman to ever be nominated for the presidency. I think it just became much more visible and a really talked about topic. And so let's go to that place. when we're looking at women and dressing, is there really a thing about dressing your age?
There's an age approach to talk about with my clients that a lot of women, as we start to go into those higher numbers, let's put it that way. I hate to say older all the time. Just go into those higher numbers. You know, we go through that little bit of that crisis, and then we start shopping in some of those stores that have a 21 after their name, or they're conducive to our daughters or granddaughters. And we want to look young and vital, but we sometimes fall off the tracks on that. And we don't really take in consideration our bodies, our body shape, our ever-changing bodies, and where the things are distributed that we'd want to camouflage. Where's our midriff, you know, if you are one of those women that gets that midriff thing going on, you get the tummy, you can't be shopping in those stores. And I think this has been a real problem for a lot of women because they want to stay current, they want to stay hip, so they want to shop in those places, and it's the fits aren't going to be right for them. So you need to work with manufacturers, designers, whatever, that work for your particular body and what your body issues are. And you have to embrace your body. And this is what I say all the time. I don't care if you're 20 pounds, 30 pounds, 40 pounds overweight. That does not mean you can't look good. You can look great at any weight. You just have to embrace some of the basic principles about dressing, learning your body shape, learning what looks good on it, learning the manufacturers that work for you. And you can camouflage all that stuff and still look modern. This is the thing. Still look modern and not like an old lady, or maybe even like our mothers or grandmothers did when they got to be this age. You know, a lot of women just sort of give up and become invisible, and they just, you know, fall back. If they're not going the other way, wearing the super trendy stuff, they'll just give up. And I could just like go into areas where there are a lot of women, say a mall, and just know who's just given up on trying to look their best or trying to look not like their mothers and their grandmothers. And,
well, you know, I find a lot of women, you know, who do give up. And I think that is such an important point out there. Never, ever give up.
Never.
But a lot of them start wearing something I call hide it clothes. I'm just hiding. You know, like I'm under here somewhere, and, you know, they're layering things, and then they're starting to wear only elastic because, you know,
or crop
they're
pants.
Just sort of, you know what I'm saying? And then, or just walking around in like yoga pants or something that no one could even look at, or the legging thing. It's like we've given up. And, you know, that really breaks my heart because a lot of these women could look so good, and you, as an expert, that's got to be a cringeable moment for you when you're like, oh no, don't do that. Do you know?
I have often when people are shopping, I can't help myself. And if somebody is being talked into something that is wrong for them, I will often take them aside. I don't tell them always who, you know, exactly. I don't sit there and give out my resume and my credentials, but I'll be like, girlfriend.
Here's my card.
Yeah, this, you want to rethink this. This is not where it's going. And it's you really be going to be a little bit more comfortable if you kind of go up a size in this, because they'll be fussing with something and it'll be too tight on them. So yes, it does make me cringe. It makes me, and it also makes me sad that women feel that life after a certain age, whatever you put the number on it, is over for them. And it's not. You know, women are going strong well into their 50s, 60s, 70s. And so many women just, as you said, you know, just have that, nobody's looking at me. That's the other thing I hear a lot. Nobody's looking at me anymore. Invisible. Or if they're into the second chapter of their lives and they want to start to date, Oh, my heavens. I work with a lot of women in this arena.
What happens?
They want to date. They don't know how to look sexy for their age or alluring. Okay, if you don't like the word sexy, I understand. If you want to look alluring, you want to look attractive, you want to be attractive to the opposite sex, okay? Especially when you're doing pictures, online dating. Oh, my goodness. That's a make
gosh.
It or break it time.
Total
you know,
social,
so
oh, no, social
total
media.
Total make it break it. Yeah, social media. So they don't understand, you know, they either get too hotsy-totsy because that's what we see in the stores. That's another thing that women struggle with. You walk into a store, you see all these great clothes, but they're basically for 25-year-olds. What are women of, you know, of a certain age, you want to use that phrase, what are they supposed to wear? In fact, I have had people come up to me and said, even men, are like, what are women supposed to wear anymore? You know, because you look and see, we're bombarded with the youth market, and we start to feel a little bit lost. So they don't know what to wear for pictures.
Well, there's a category of woman out there and who has taken really good care of themselves. Right.
Yes.
And they've exercised, they eat the right stuff and whatever. And they're really rocking it. And quite frankly, they look 10, 15 years easily younger than they are.
Of course.
And, you know, there they were. So I'm going to give you an interesting scenario. So I was at the health club the other day. And I was down in the locker room, and I had just arrived, and I was sort of throwing my stuff in the locker and getting ready to rip it upstairs, right? And there was a woman who I happen to know is right around the age of 60. She rocks it totally. I mean, she's fit. She's a triathlete. She takes really good care of herself. And but she's also kept some of her a little bit of silvery hair now.
Okay.
She looks, you know, she's got that kind of Eileen Fisher look to her, you know.
Okay.
And so really looks great. And her hair is a little bit shorter. She's so attractive. So she's standing there. And what kind of undies is she wearing, right? She's wearing thongs, right? She's got thongs on. And
God,
I'm not talking about flip. Girlfriends, I'm not talking about flip-flops here either. You know, don't think that. I'm talking about like what she's wearing downstairs. So she's got a pair of like hanky-pankies on that are really cute, you know, a little lacy job, but just really comfy, you know, and she just slaps them, you know, on and she's feeling really good, just took a shower. And there were some millennials standing by and they were kind of watching her and she looks phenomenal, you know, really great, but the gray hair thing. And so then she left and there it was. And I listened to the millennials, you know, just as she was leaving, and they said, oh my God, she's older and she's still wearing thongs. All right. So my thought was, you know, I looked at the millennials and I actually said the following. I said, she looks better in those than a lot of 20-year-olds.
Oh, yeah.
And so you know what I say? Rock on with her seriously bad self. Now, what do you say about, you know, age limitations for things like that? Are there
any? I don't, you know what? As far as underwear goes, and if you want to wear a thong, as long as, here's the thing, go ahead, wear a thong, if that is the kind of thing you like. I get to the point where I've outgrown them, they bug me now. I used to wear them, they kind of bug me. But I did wear them. And if you don't have, say, the squishiness on the side and so forth, where it's digging in and making extra lumps and bumps, then go ahead, wear them. You know, if they start digging into you and you get all that googa booga wooga going on, then it is not the time.
Could you spell that, please?
Yeah, you want to spell it for you.
Oh, my gosh. There we go.
You do not want to have that. If it's cutting in and you're wearing a pair of slim trousers and it's doing that, that's give it up. Give up the ghost. Give up the ghost on that when you want to give them up.
I'm loving it. So once again, it's like for any age, if it doesn't work for you, it doesn't work for you.
It just doesn't work for you. Yeah.
Well, I mean, let's quickly touch on this last item. Why are the millennials going braless now?
All right.
It's all over the news. What's going on with that as we kind of, you know, dangle all over the place out there? What's happening?
Okay, first of all, as you know as a doctor, Dr. Pam, how bad it is for the breast health. Swinging in the breeze, that is not... And first of all, if you're more than like a B cup, it hurts. I'm sorry. It hurts if you're shaking and jiggling all around. I remember the 70s when the whole braless thing was going on and they burned the bra in 60s and 70s. It hurt. No. You know, so it's not attractive. The breast tissue, as you know, it just does not bode well for you. You're going to end up sagging down to your knees by the time you're 40 if you're going to be doing that. I think it came from a certain group that will remain nameless that were a lot that are out here in the California area, that it became a kind of a thing to do, and now everything is going a little bit on the see-through side so that you could see through it, and then women are going rocking out on the millennials the nipple rings to show those. I just think we're going a little far. We're going a little far on this. The bralette thing became a huge item for the young girls with the bras. Yes, I call it, it looks like a sleep, more like a sleep bra for me. And if you're a woman that wants to wear a little something in bed that's a little bit supportive. But again, if you have oversized D breasts, you could be sewing those two or five of those bralettes together to get them to cover you. I mean, come on. You know, what are you going for there?
Oh my
it's gosh, not going to serve you well. It is not going to serve you well at all. Yes, there is a whole thing about this whole... trend about the going braless, but I just don't think it is. First of all, your clothes are not going to fit well. Clothes are not meant for soft breasts to be swinging around. They have a certain area in which the clothes are cut and the breast area is supposed to fill in. So you're going to have a little bit tougher time fitting your clothes, and depending on what your breast shape is, it's not going to look as good. Besides just a health issue. But the bralette is a cute little thing that came on. But again, if you're much over a B cup, don't think so. But if you want to wear it over a proper bra, you know, if you like that look, that's perfectly fine. That can be actually really kind of cute to do that. But again, it is definitely a youth-driven trend. I don't foresee it going forward, or shouldn't really be going forward. Let's put it that way. For women that have a larger bust size, it's just going to be kind of ridiculous looking on them, and they're not going to get any coverage.
Okay, that answered that perfectly. Boy, did you have some passion behind that one?
You
it
know,
was like,
I'm
whoa.
All. I am, because I really think women have to battle with looking really great and looking 10 pounds or more thinner is wearing the proper undergarments. I'm staunch about this. This is one of the things, this is my biggest bugaboo. Everyone could look so much better if we just get everything in place where it needs to be. And I'm not saying you have to wear torture devices underneath your clothes at all, but just get proper fitting undergarments. It makes a world of difference. Nothing ages a woman or makes her look heavier than wearing a bad bra and not having a bra that fits them correctly. And
that's incredible. I think that the grand majority of women out there, you know, really have never sought professional help with this.
No,
I think they just sort of like, you know, went to some, you know, lingerie department and then just started ripping things off the, you know, the shelves and went into a dressing room and just sort of, you know, created things they went along without really fully understanding what was going on. Because, you know, something you can't see how high up the back of the bra is riding on your back. And yet the woman, you know, who is the professional can immediately say, whoa, you know, that sucker is way too small. And we need to, and also to take the appropriate measurements and all the rest of that.
Mm-hmm.
You and I are going to have a whole podcast on this, honey, because
I would love to, because this
topic
is so as you said, I am so passionate about this because, you know, when I worked in television, I learned so much about breast shape, breast size. I dealt with everything, post-pregnancy, pre-pregnancy, you know, having a boob job, flat-chested women. It runs the gamut. Runs the gamut. So I really got to learn this area and really got to learn what really works and how clothes can really work and how the proper bras will really make the clothes look so much better and fit so much better.
You are so right on. Well, I hope all of you, you know, bra people out there in her podcast land,
yeah. Bra people.
You know, let's just sort of, let's all snap our bra, you know, straps all together now.
In solidarity.
Okay. In solidarity. That's right. All you little, our estrogen squad out there. We've been talking to our go-to all things stylist, Lorianne Robinson. If you want to learn more about her incredible work, please go to her website. That's LorianneAnnRobinson.com. And we've really been talking about, well, is there an age limit to what you wear and how you wear it? So, Lori, I'm going to throw it back to you. A quick summary. Last wise, you know, words of knowledge and suggestions for our Her podcast listeners.
I think as far as age limits as to what you're wearing, you know, definitely look to see where you're purchasing the items. If the stores are youth-driven, incredibly youth-driven, and there's barely anything over a size 10, and you're a size 12, don't be trying to squeeze into those items. Don't be shopping in the stores that your daughters and granddaughters shop in. That's not age appropriate. But age appropriate doesn't mean old lady, and I think a lot of women get that confused. So you want to make sure you look for manufacturers and designers that take the current trends, but make them more and cut them more for a woman's body and figure, and not for a little skinny mini teeny
Yay.
Girl, you know, teeny
You're
bopper
right.
girl, you know, not for
You're
a 20-year-old. Right. We can all wear the trends. You know, there's not a trend out there that you can't morph somewhat to make a bit more conducive to your lot in life, your lifestyle, and your body type. And you could just, you know, switch it out a little bit, but you just have to know how to do that. It's not always a literal thing. You might just want a flavor of it. And learning how to do that is really key and important to looking your
Fantastic.
Best. So that you still look modern, but you're not going to look like an old lady.
All right. You heard it from the guru herself, and that's Lorianne Robinson, who is our go-to stylist. Her website, again, is LorianneRobinson.com. Lori, thank you so much for imparting your words of wisdom and wit at the same time. Hey, so I'm Dr. Pam Peake. Hey, remember to catch every single episode of the Her podcast to learn about her mind, her body, and her life. Just hit subscribe on iTunes or on our show page at RadioMD.com. And if I can ask you a huge favor, take a few seconds and rate this podcast on iTunes. The reason being is we want to attract more people just like you to the show so you can be your best her. And if you rate it well, it helps get the show out there with more visibility. And whatever you do, when you rate it, leave a review as well. Just remember, my mother's reading these things. Make it good. And if you could do that for us, we would greatly appreciate it. I'm Dr. Pam Peake. So follow me on Twitter at Pam Peake MD. And you can also check out our Her Radio show page at RadioMD.com for all of our past episodes. Thanks for listening and stay well.